Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
That was an awesome topic we had last hour. The top 10 biggest disappointments in the NFL the last 10 years. My number one, the catch rule and the confusion surrounding that rule. Absolutely my number one biggest disappointment in the league. I also had RG3, the 2011 Eagles, Thursday Night Football, Jamarcus Russell, Josh Gordon, Chip Kelly's coaching career, the league's handling the anthem protests. Text me, 870-870 is our text number. You can also give us a call at 504-260-1870 if you want to chime in. Earlier tonight, though, the Pelicans must win game against the Memphis Grizzlies, one of the worst teams in the league. And yeah, the Pelicans, they get it done. 123-95 over the Grizzlies. Not only a great performance by AD, who returned to form, the guy we knew and loved after a couple of relatively down games for him. He had 28 points on 8 of 13 shooting from the floor. Very efficient. 11 of 13 from the free throw line, 12 rebounds. But for me, he wasn't the story. Etuan Moore, maybe the night of his career so far. 30 points, 7 of 10 from behind the arc. And Nikola Mirotic, who was reinserted into the starting lineup, 25 points on 10 of 12 shooting from the floor. So finally, we see the role players around Anthony Davis really rolling here. And at the best time, a game they had to have. And they're now tied for 7th in the Western Conference. Still a close race between everybody, between the 4 seed and really the 10 seed. We're trying to figure it all out. And here to help us try to figure it out is Dan Feldman, NBA writer for NBC Sports, ProFootballTalk.com. ProBasketballTalk.com, at Dan Feldman, NBA, on Twitter. Dan, what's going on, man? Thanks for joining us tonight.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so Pelicans tonight, this game, you saw the role players get it in gear. You probably heard me there. Etuan Moore and Nikola Mirotic just went off. Anthony Davis, I'm sure, is going, yeah, pumping his fist. Yeah, this is what I want. Take some pressure off me, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think anybody took the pressure off Anthony Davis and the Pelicans as much as the Grizzlies. When you go into a game
good
where
point.
Both teams want the same team to win, that team usually wins.
Yeah, that's good.
But sure, it's nice for the role players to get into a groove. You know, Moore can be a little bit of a streaky shooter, so when he's playing well, that can carry over. Ditto Mirotic, apparently shaving the beard, that worked. And so when those things come together, yeah, the Pelicans can be pretty good. And, you know, like you said, you nailed it. This was a must-win game. If you're trying to remain in this playoff race, you can't afford to blow one against the Grizzlies, and the same thing is going to be true in the next game against the Suns.
Yeah, that one on Friday is a game that they must win. This Western Conference, we've been talking about it, I guess, for a couple of months now, just how compact and how crazy it is here. The Pelicans, where do they fit in for you? I know there's 4 games left and there's all sorts of scenarios here, but just where do they fit in to this? Let's just go 4th seed through the 10th seed. You kind of rank these teams and how you think it's going to work out. Where do you think the Pels fit?
Well, I'm not, to be honest, I'm not sure they're one of the 8 best teams in the Western Conference, but I also think they're going to make the playoffs. And I'm not super confident in either of those. I mean, it is very tight. We are probably splitting hairs on both distinctions. But they've banked in some success that they had with DeMarcus Cousins. Obviously, that doesn't mean much for how good they are right now, but they earned those wins. They earned giving themselves a little leeway. Anthony Davis has mostly played amazing since Cousins went down, done everything he can to carry the Pelicans. But that takes a toll. That batters him down a little bit. We've seen throughout his career, as great as he is, if we're going to pick out his weaknesses, one of them is dealing with the physicalities, playing center a little more, all those things. They can wear him down, give him little bumps and bruises and things he can play through or not play through. You know, that those add up. So if they get in, all those things will make it tougher for the Pelicans to win in the playoffs. But I do think they've probably done just enough to get in, but they've got to win these games coming down the stretch.
You know, Dan, I'm curious, from the outside looking in here, this is a conversation we have in the city a lot, but I like to talk to people outside of the bubble. How do you view this Pelican season? I don't even want to get into if they make the playoffs or not, but they're sitting 10 games over 500. Remember, Vegas and a lot of people had them winning 38, 39 games this year, so they've already eclipsed that. But how do you view this season? Is it a disappointment if they don't make the playoffs? Do you think it's already a success? Do you think it's a mixed bag? What do you think?
Well, I think it's a disappointment if they don't make the playoffs, just because it seemed for so long that they were definitely going to. You know, they worked their way up in the standings to be on the high end of this pack of teams. They never really escaped the pack, but at one point they were on the high end of the pack. And if you fall out of the playoffs from there, that's disappointing. But still, overall, a good season, all things considered. I think there need to be some questions asked about the Pelicans' injury troubles. Maybe it's just luck. You know, maybe it's just bad luck that these things keep happening to the Pelicans. Maybe there's something going on with their training and medical stuff where it needs to be addressed. It's at least worth looking at, because that is going to be an important thing going forward. If it wasn't just a coincidence that DeMarcus Cousins went down, that's a bigger problem. But the way Anthony Davis has played has been awesome. It's a tight race, I'd say, between him, Giannis Antetokounmpo, and LeBron James for second on the MVP ballot. But to get to that point, it's impressive. I think Alvin Gentry has done a nice job with the personnel he's had, really getting a free-flowing offense going, a lot of ball movement, a lot of player movement, a lot of unselfishness. This roster, I think, is lacking a little bit in the role players. I think that shows when you're so excited by guys having good games against the Grizzlies, which people in New Orleans should be, because that's the quality of these role players. But I think the season has shown, one, how great Anthony Davis is, two, that the Pelicans have done just enough around him, especially hanging on to Drew Holiday, but three, that there is a lot of room for growth within this roster. I'm not sure they have the flexibility to do it, but there are definitely areas for upgrade.
Yeah, you're touching on a couple of hot topics there, especially the injury history. And it's the same medical staff between the Pelicans and the Saints, and the fans have been all over that because the Saints have had some of the same injury problems. So we're going, maybe this isn't such a coincidence. Talking to Dan Feldman here on Double Coverage, NBA writer for NBC's Sports Pro Basketball Talk. .com. Alvin Gentry, you know, I kind of had the same view as you of this, and I'm definitely in the minority here in this market. I don't think it's his problem. Like, I see his offense, I see his system. Just like the end of last year, he's getting his guys open looks to free-flowing Warriors-esque style system, but everybody wants to dump the blame squarely on Gentry, and I just don't think that's completely fair, and it sounds like you don't think so either.
No, I mean, so those, we talked about the positives. If we want to address some of the negatives, you know, you can start with the defense. It's, you know, up and down. And the other thing is personnel. It's tough to evaluate because it's easy for me to look at and say, man, he's playing too many guys who can't shoot or can't defend, and it's really screwing things up. You get one defensive liability out there, the other team's going to attack it. It creates a lot of problems. Or you get one or two guys out there who don't shoot three-pointers well enough, it really kills the floor spacing. And you could say, well, he should play this guy more or that guy more. There aren't enough good defenders and good three-point shooters on this roster for him to make some great lineup decisions. Maybe he could do a little better. I think that's one of the most important things an NBA coach does is pick who plays and how many minutes. Not even just when and what combinations, but just which players are out there. And maybe he could do a little better with that. But this roster, it leaves him little margin for error. I don't think he's doing a bad job there. And I think, just to add one more good thing he's doing besides the offensive system, I think he's doing a real good job of instilling confidence in these players, making them understand their role on this team, what they can do, and feeling good about it, and having the team with a good overall attitude, it seems.
So the Western Conference, let's talk about the top of it here as we approach the playoffs. Do you think Curry's going to be good by round two? Because I do think they're going to be pretty heavy favorites regardless of who they play in that first round, so we expect them to get to round two. Do you still have them as the favorites in this conference, or do you think it's now the Rockets the team to beat here?
Yeah, I think of the Warriors as favored. They just have so much talent between Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, Kevin Durant, obviously. Andre Iguodala has dialed it up in the playoffs the last couple of years. He could probably do that again. They have some good role players. They've been just so good, and it's very easy to think they've coasted through the regular season, that because they know they're so good, they're being extra cautious with Curry, and it's not something worth panicking about. So I think you have to still have the Warriors as the favorites.
What about over in the Eastern Conference? It's just fascinating to me that, yeah, I would suppose you've got to say this conference still goes through LeBron the amount of times that he's been to the finals. But just the eye test to me, I mean, Toronto looks like the best team in this conference, hands down. I guess maybe that changes in the playoffs here. What do you think?
The Raptors absolutely have been the best team in this conference all season, but they've been pretty good in other years. Other teams have popped up in other years and been better than LeBron's team in the regular season, and then he turned it on in the playoffs and cruised past them. The Cavs do look more vulnerable. The Raptors look far better than they ever have. But there's just enough of a question where, I don't know. LeBron looks more human, but the Raptors have had all these problems in the playoffs. But the Cavs' defense is so underwhelming. But the Raptors are starting to go into a little bit of a spin now. They got out of it with a win tonight. I don't know. I think I'm going to pick LeBron, but I would not be surprised one bit if a team is ready to pass him.
What do you think about the Sixers? League high 12-game winning streak right now. All the excitement and hype surrounding them and Ben Simmons' historic rookie season. Is this team a threat in the playoffs?
I think so. Well, they've got to get Joel Embiid back to be a real serious threat. But they have their starting lineup fits so well together. It's such a dominant unit. It's a weird team for the playoffs because their strengths are very strong. They have some very elite players, but they have some floor spacing issues. They have some real weaknesses too. They're a team of extremes. And in the playoffs, sometimes extremes work really well to your advantage. Sometimes they're a big detriment. And with this team, it could go either way.
Well, Dan, we're just a little over a week away from the start of these playoffs. Can't wait. Appreciate the time tonight, man.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Thanks so much. Dan Feldman, find him on Twitter at Dan Feldman NBA, and you can find him at probasketballtalk.com. What do you think? How do you think this Western Conference is going to shake out here? Pelicans maintain their one-game lead on the Denver Nuggets. Nuggets in the ninth seed. Pelicans now tied with the Timberwolves at 44-34 in the seventh spot. But it's so intriguing because they could really move all the way up to the four seed by the time it's all said and done. Four games to go. They're one game behind the Spurs and the Jazz in the loss column for the fourth seed. I just don't have no idea how this is going to work out. We'll talk to Andrew Doak, WWL TV anchor and sports reporter here in just a little bit. Your call is next, 504-260-1870. It's Double Coverage on WWL. I'm going to talk to Andrew Doak here in about 6 minutes about the Pelicans, their win tonight, and what we expect in their final four games. Stick around for that. Again, Pelicans winners tonight by 28 points in the Smoothie King Center over the Grizzlies, 123-95. Everybody still wants to talk about, and I love it. We had a great conversation about my top 10 disappointments in the NFL in the past decade. Number one for me was the catch rule confusion. I had RG3, Chip Kelly, Thursday Night Football. I think Thursday Night Football should have been a little bit higher on my list. I had it at number five. Trent Richardson, the 2011 Eagles. What's yours? 870-870 is the text line. You can also call us at 504-260-1870. Jamarcus Russell was on my list. Here's a text from the 985. Jamarcus Russell never beat – excuse me, this is Johnny Manziel who thought to be on the list, JM. Johnny Manziel never beat a real defense and beat Alabama after we beat them up the week before. So you'd have Johnny Manziel in his top 10 NFL disappointments. Here's the reason that it wasn't in my top 10 list, and I certainly understand why it could be in yours. I never thought Johnny Manziel was going to pan out as an NFL quarterback. I remember having vigorous debates on this program. It was actually when this program was on the morning show on our sister station, 1350 AM, here in New Orleans. T-Bob and I would have it out over Johnny Manziel, my buddy T-Bob Hebert. Tim, I don't know if you were producing the show then. You were? I mean, I was all over T-Bob for his take, his love for Johnny Manziel. He couldn't give enough, and I just didn't see it. I didn't see it. Did you? Were you like all over Johnny Football here, Tim?
I mean, I just came on randomly and told him how well I was doing in Madden with Johnny Manziel. I got to the Super Bowl with the Browns. I was doing great. So I was all pro Manziel at the time.
I guess. I mean, you could take anybody in Madden and turn him into an all-pro. You could probably Brandon Whedon and turn him into a Hall of Fame guy.
With Manziel, it was easy. He already had 90-plus speed, so all he had to do was improve his arm, which is pretty easy. So he was like Michael Vick of like present time when with Manziel in that game.
There was nobody better in Madden than Vick. You played Madden in that era, right? You just had to have Vick. It was like an auto win or an auto loss if you were playing Vick. Here's a text from the 228. I think this goes to my relocation here. I had franchise relocation as my number 8th biggest disappointment in the NFL the last 10 years. From the 228, the malcontent teams would play in each other's cities while waiting their turn to play in L.A. Yeah, I agree. And it was just it was blackmail. I needed to have a show. We'll do this in the offseason when we're not so busy with Pelicans playoffs and NFL draft and that kind of stuff, but there needs to be a deeper and more serious conversation across this country about owners in all sports holding cities and fan bases hostage for tax dollars and building these $1 billion and sometimes multi-billion-dollar stadiums when these multi-billion-dollar owners are putting up either no money of their own or very little money of their own and reaping all the benefits. I just think it's a travesty, but I also think it's a conversation for another day, and that's one of the reasons why franchise relocation was in my top 10. Here's a text from the 228. Catch rule. Deja vu all over again. Yeah. Deja vu every game, every year. From the 504. I hate Thursday night football. I hate Thursday night football. I hate Thursday night football. Did I tell you how much I hate Thursday night football? The only reason that there's part of me that likes Thursday night football is because it's on during this show, so it gives us something to talk about. See the color rush uniforms. You've gotten better games the last couple of years. So they try to throw division rivalries into this and not just the bottom feeder, not just like the Browns against the Bengals. But you've seen Seattle against Arizona, Seattle against San Francisco, New Orleans against Atlanta a couple of times, Giants against Dallas. So you see those games, but it's just not good for the players. And for the most part, even in those big games, it's not good football. Do you remember that game a couple of years ago that ended in a 6-6 tie, Seattle and Arizona? I mean, it was terrible football. And didn't both teams miss like a 30-yard field goal that would have won it for them in overtime? That was the epitome of Thursday night football. I really wish we could bury it. Not going to happen, though, because of how much money they make and how much the networks pay to have a Thursday night NFL football game. I remember there might be some smaller – is there smaller school college football on Thursday? I think there is. I think there's some smaller school. Mac plays on Thursday? Okay, Mac plays on Thursday. So no big school Power 5 conference football on Thursday, and the NFL kind of capitalizes on that. Pelicans winners tonight. Let's go to the phone lines, 504-260-1870. Jason in New Orleans wants to talk about the Pels. Jason, you're on WWL. Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing tonight?
Hey, good. What's up?
All right. I was just wondering, I hate to look too far into the future, but how do you feel about, you remember how Monty got us to the playoffs and we were just the AC, but we were going in on a positive note
with
the Spurs and the Thunder? If Alvin Gentry only gets us to the 8th seed and we get bounced out, how do you feel about his spot?
Well, that's a good question, Jason. That is a real good question. And I'm just going to be honest here. I'm not sure, because here's the part of me, if you've probably been listening, part of me does realize that Alvin Gentry's system, especially offensively, is working. Ball movement, he's getting guys open looks. They're finally starting to knock down some of those shots, especially since they brought in Mirotić. He's been kind of a revelation here like we thought he would be. But to your point, expectations now, a couple of years in here, they've just underperformed those. And if, let's say he doesn't make the playoffs this year, I do think they kind of clean house here. I do. If they fall out of the playoffs again this year, there's a standard there. Whether you like Gentry's offense or not, like I do, you got to be making the playoffs when you have one of the league's best players, the league's best center, and another all-star in Drew.
CBS News update. President Trump says he'll work to secure the border with or without Congress, and he's now signed an order to deploy the National Guard. Homeland Security Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen.
The president has directed that the Department of Defense and the Department of Homeland Security work together with our governors to deploy the National Guard to our southwest border to assist the Border Patrol. The president will be signing a proclamation to that effect today.
CBS News military analyst Mike Lyons doesn't foresee armed National Guard troops hunting down illegal immigrants.
They likely will be used as observers, use some of their equipment, and be in a position where they can help and assist border agents.
Mexico's Senate passed a motion condemning the president's actions and his aggressive rhetoric toward Mexico. It's urging the government to end cooperation with the U.S. on migration and security, two of the things the president has been highly critical of. CBS News update. I'm Jim Shanovey.
Welcome back to the program. You know what that sound means. We're going to talk a little NBA basketball and Pelicans in just a second. Alan Waddell tweeting at me, at Alan G. Waddell, my partner and co-host in the falls on the All-State Sugar Bowl Prep Football Roundup, about my top 10 NFL disappointments. He says I would have to add Johnny Football to that list. And yeah, like I said, I didn't have Johnny Manziel on that list just because I never thought he would turn out to be a capable NFL quarterback. I had vigorous debates about that. So it didn't disappoint me because I thought he would be kind of a bust. And indeed he is. You hear today when Manziel came out and said it was the Browns' fault because they should have known that he was kind of a head case. So they should have known that he didn't study films. Wait, what? Yeah, it's the Browns. The Browns should have known that I didn't like to study film and I didn't really like to study the game. And not my fault. It's the Browns' fault. Like, what? And this is the guy who wants to return to the league? Wow. If you're on the phone lines, hold on. We'll get to your calls after we talk to Andrew Doak, sports anchor for WWL-TV Channel 4. Pelicans, again, 28-point win tonight over the Grizzlies. Andrew, really appreciate the time tonight.
Hey, appreciate it, guys. Hey, if I might say, I do like the NBA on NBC intro right there. That got me pumped up.
Doesn't it?
Bring it back more.
No, it really – either that or sometimes I get them to play that old Chicago Bulls intro from the Jordan age.
Nothing I
better
love
than,
it.
Yeah, nothing better than those things. Tonight, man, look, what about Etuan Moore? Are you kidding me? Is this the best game of his career? 30 points, 7 to 10 from 3. I mean, the dude was bananas tonight.
He was a stud. And, look, for this team to be able to not only make the playoffs, but to be able to survive in the playoffs and maybe survive in advance, you're going to need nights like that from guys like Etuan Moore, Ian Clark, Darius Miller. Your role players have got to be able to step up because, look, Anthony Davis, I don't think he's still at 100%. I don't know when you go to the playoffs if he's going to be either. But you can't expect AD to score 45 every night. He's the only player, at least one of few, that when he has a stat line that's 25 and 10, it's like, oh, man, he had an off night. So, yeah, no doubt, Etuan played a great game tonight. Don't want to make too much of it because they needed to beat the Grizzlies. I think the Grizzlies had kind of a G League roster out there.
Yeah.
I think I had to look up half the profiles of like three of the starting five. But, yeah, nice win for the Pels. And they just got a – this is a defining stretch upcoming, obviously.
Yeah, Dan Feldman, I think, put it best, Andrew, and he said, you know, it's pretty rare when both teams actually want the same result. They want the same team to win. And I think Memphis did as well, just for draft position, obviously, with a few more ping pong balls. And you know what's interesting? They're going to get the same thing on Friday against the Suns, the Suns team that also doesn't want to win that game. Another must-win for the Pelicans, Andrew. Oh, we lost Andrew. Andrew will be back here in just a second. But, yeah, they play another game we expect them to win, even though it's on the road on Friday. Let's swing in, squeeze in here Jimmy and Gretna. Jimmy, you want to talk some Pelicans? Go ahead.
Yeah, man. Look, you know I love the Pelicans. I went to the game tonight. You know, the crowd wasn't huge, but it was loud, and it was a good win, expected. You know, like the previous caller said, though, I mean, Gentry, and, you know, Gale is now in charge of this franchise, and the Saints, of course, but the Saints are on an upward trend. No one really is concerned about them like they were, say, a year ago, Seth, you know. And the Pelicans are the ones who need nurturing, who need something to change, who need something to get Davis amped up about being in New Orleans. You know, we need to figure out something to get people at the game in the regular season. So, you know, on one level, I want to make the playoffs as a fan and for Davis's psyche. and to other players, of course, but mainly for Davis because he's our superstar player. And then I think to myself, like, you know, you look at the history of the Hornets and the Pelicans, Seth, I mean, we've never had a player come here voluntarily. I mean, they've either been drafted here, Chris Paul, Davis, Hall of Fame-level talent, or Boogie gets traded here, or Baron Davis gets relocated here from Charlotte. How do we make this city and this NBA franchise a legitimate franchise and not just the redheaded stepchild to the Saints, you know? So I think Gale, me personally, Seth, to answer that guy's question, I think you get rid of Gentry either way. Now,
really?
I could be convinced that Demp's made mistakes in the past, but this year I give him credit where credit's due, bringing in Mirotić after Boogie got hurt, bringing in Boogie, and bringing in Rondo, who's still got a lot of gas left in the tank. And that falls even more so on Gentry. So, I mean, look, eighth, you know, they were in position for a 3 or 4 seed. They've gone this little skid. And what I saw Sunday against Oklahoma City, Seth, just shocked me. I feel like Gentry just didn't have them prepared. And now they're just fighting to make the playoffs. If they don't make the playoffs, you definitely get rid of Gentry. The thing is, my question to you is this.
Well, let me ask you something really, really quickly here as we're trying to reconnect with Andrew. But, okay, this is what I argued before, is that I do think, obviously, some of the blame falls on Gentry, and I think even more falls on Dell Demps over his tenure here. But this is where I think we have a little bit of a disconnect when you – when, and I'm not sure you're trying to do this, but we can't just lay all the blame on Alvin Gentry because AD didn't show up. This is my point with AD, and he needs to be held accountable like the superstar he is. Some of that responsibility for him not showing up, at least to his standard, against Cleveland and then also against Oklahoma City. Like, I point my finger at AD. Like, this is an indictment of AD, but I also think he needs to share some of the accountability there.
Let me respond to that. Give me the number of how many games Boogie played with them. The reason why I say that is this. Overall, we've been relatively healthy, Seth. I mean, compared to the last Monty year, the final year where they played the Golden State Warriors in that first round, and then the last 3 years with Anthony Davis, either Davis has been hurt or his surrounding castmates have been hurt. I would say this year, overall, the roster's been relatively healthy except for Boogie the last month and a half, okay? So because of that, I can't point any blame at anyone but the coach with this situation because I'd give a mulligan – Monty that final year, and I give Gentry a mulligan the last couple years because of injuries. Davis has been in and out players. So look, I think Gale is going to have a situation where she has to decide to keep Davis happy, to keep the fan base happy. Look, we got to make a move because another year with Gentry, to me, is mediocrity. That's what we're asking for. And the thing is, mediocrity in this market, Seth, ain't putting people in the seats. And if people ain't in the seats, I think the team down the road, you know, Gale doesn't have any kids. What's going to keep this team here from going to Seattle or Las Vegas where they can get a lot more fan base? So I love the Pelicans. I'm not trying to be negative. Davis is a Hall of Fame level talent. We got to keep him happy. Re-sign Boogie. Get a new coach. And look, I want us to make the playoffs. I don't want to suck so Gentry leaves. But I am scared if we make the playoffs, he stays. So –
No, I get it. No, Jimmy, here.
It's really tricky.
I think you make completely valid points. I'm not discounting that at all. I think I disagree with some of them. That doesn't mean I don't think your points are valid, and I don't think you might be right and I might be wrong. My point here is, with this is where I think that we're not being true to ourselves as fans and media members here, and I don't think we're holding this franchise and Anthony Davis accountable enough, like other markets do, when we say, okay, Anthony Davis goes 6 of 19 against Cleveland, scores 16 points, and then we say, oh, yeah, it's not Anthony Davis's fault. That's all Alvin Gentry's fault. And again, I love Anthony Davis just as much as the next guy. I think Anthony Davis, again, is a superstar in this league, maybe already the best player in the league, at least the second half. This isn't just because I say he had a bad game or needs to be accountable for that doesn't change my overall thoughts on Anthony Davis. But, Jimmy, here's my point that I've been having, really, if you've been following the Pelicans blogosphere, it's been all over it. My comments and everybody reading me the riot act about this. In other cities – like San Antonio, medium markets like Cleveland, they have championship-level accountability to their superstars. And I think it, in my view, it's a disservice really to the city, the fans around it, when we go, okay, Anthony Davis goes 6-19, scores 16 points, disappears in the biggest game, and we go, yeah, that's all Alvin Gentry's fault. You know what I mean?
Well, let me say this. I'm not in disagreement with you on this, okay? But I will say, let's take it from Anthony Davis' standpoint. You just said he might be the greatest player in the world, in the NBA.
Yep.
I think arguably we can agree he's top three. Okay, LeBron, him, and maybe Steph Curry or Harden or somebody like that. Harden's going to win the MVP. So let's look at it from his perspective, though. If you watch ESPN and you watch major endorsement commercials there, Seth, you don't hear about Davis. I'm not just talking about New Orleans. I'm talking nationally. He's not in the NBA League Pass commercials. He's not the face of – you notice – if you notice closely, Seth, everyone else is Harden, Curry, LeBron. How do you think that makes Davis feel if he really is a top three guy in this market? He's like – Also, this plays into getting files. I agree with Gentry going on that rant a few weeks ago. Davis does not get the calls that Harden and LeBron get at the end of games.
Well, I'll agree with that. I think it's ridiculous, some of the calls that James Harden gets. I mean, goodness, it's insane.
Well, let's hope we don't play Rockets and they get all those calls because they sell a lot of jerseys. And Davis just is not chosen like that in the NBA elite yet. For some reason, I don't think he's in the the stratosphere of the endorsements and the face of the NBA just yet, because if you look closely enough,
well, you know why that is, though. You know why that is. It's because the Pelicans haven't won. You know, they haven't won a playoff series. They haven't won a playoff game. If, and I think it was this, remember the Golden State Warriors? I think people just forget this, Jimmy, and everybody else, because of how good they've been and how, you know, dynastic they've been the past 3-4 years. They were a laughingstock of the league for a good 20 years. Before Curry showed up and Clay and Draymond and everybody. Like, I think people just forget that. They were in San Francisco, but they were one of the league's laughing stocks here. And stars couldn't go to San Francisco or the Bay Area. I guess they're technically in Oakland, but couldn't go to the Bay Area and get the national exposure than you could if you went to LA, you went to New York, you went to Miami. So I don't think it's some big conspiracy by the league to diminish Anthony Davis. I guarantee you this. If Anthony Davis and the Pelicans, if they start winning playoff series, if they start creeping up to championship contention, I guarantee you that AD, and this is where I'll give him credit, his self-deprecating humor about his brow and his very good attitude, pretty humble compared to other NBA superstars, I think it's going to be endearing, not only to sponsors, but also to fans outside of our market. So, but what's got to come first is the Pelicans actually winning something. And I don't mean winning a title. I mean maybe winning a playoff series, winning some playoff games. It's got to happen. It's absolutely got to happen. Really great call, Jimmy. Thanks for it. Always love talking Pelicans with you. If you want to weigh in here, give me a call on the Pels or anything else. 504-260-1870. We've also maybe got some two-minute drill, Tim Zimmer trivia coming up next. I'm Seth Dunlap on WWL. Jimmy, that was one of the best calls that we've had in my 5 years on the show. That was great. Jimmy and Gretna getting into it about the Pelicans. And that's what I love. Like, everybody and anybody who's been following the Pelicans blogosphere, and I know some of you out there are active members of that, you know that I have been kind of persona non grata over there the past 48, 72 hours with my take on how we need to hold Anthony Davis more accountable. I'm fine with that. I'm very passionate in my belief about that, is that's one of the things that we need to do as a fan base and as a city in order to, and I know nobody likes to hear this, but the Pelicans, look, they're a laughing stock across the NBA for the most part. I don't want this franchise to be a laughing stock anymore. I think that comes with accountability. And Jimmy disagreed, and I think all of his points were valid. He says Alvin Gentry just isn't working here. Time for him to go. And my response to that was, I don't necessarily disagree with that, especially if things fall apart here. But I also don't think that you can blame Alvin Gentry for Anthony Davis going 6-19 against the Cavaliers with 16 points, one of the worst games of his season, right? That's not on Alvin Gentry. That's on Anthony Davis. So that's the kind of accountability that I'm talking about. So, Andrew Doak joining us again. Andrew, I know you're really busy. Really appreciate you trying to find a spot to call us back, man. Thanks so much.
Hey, I appreciate it, guys. Sorry. First world problems.
Yeah. No problem. I think you heard some of the conversation between Jimmy and I there, and I'm just curious because if you followed any of the Pelicans blogosphere the past 72 hours like I just told our audience, I have not been a popular person over there because of my take on Anthony Davis and just how we need to hold him a little more accountable for the times that he doesn't show up in big moments like last weekend against Cleveland. I want to get your take on this because Jimmy and most fans would agree with Jimmy and not me. I agree with that in that the blame lies on Alvin Gentry, that he doesn't get his players motivated. But I have the take here, Andrew, that look, when Davis goes 6 of 19, when he scores 16 points and then comes out and scores 18 in the first 45 the next night, like that's not on Alvin Gentry, that's on Anthony Davis. And I think that's the accountability we need. What do you think?
I would agree with you partly. I mean, look, you got
no, we lost him again. We'll get Andrew back. Andrew's great. I know you were just saying you saw him at Lucy's the other night. Andrew's great. I don't want to – he's had a long day. I know he was over at LSU Pro Day and all sorts of stuff. So, we'll talk to him a little bit later this week, maybe on Friday. You got two-minute drill here, Tim? You ready? Okay, we're going to do two-minute drill today, just a solo version of two-minute drill. I've been getting run out of the gym here the past few weeks on two-minute drill. My buddy Scott Alexander just wiped the floor with me last week like I thought he would. So I need a little redemption. And you know what? This seems to be like I'm in the gym by myself, you know, shooting 100 shots here, trying to get my groove back. So we're doing a little solo version of two-minute drill. 2 minutes, 8 questions of sports, and maybe some pop culture trivia here we do once a week. Tim Zimmer's our MC. Tim, how many NASCAR questions you got in here?
I have no NASCAR questions. I do have some Masters questions, and I have some baseball and NBA questions.
Okay. All right.
So things that are relevant these days, they're kind of like just things that came on the top of my head, so they're kind of an off base, but we'll go with it.
Okay. All right. Hit me with it. Here we go. Two-minute drill. Give me that Austin Powers.
All right. First question. Which player in New Orleans Pelicans and Hornets history has played the most combined minutes all time for the franchise?
Wow, that's a good question. Is it Chris Paul?
Nope, it's actually David West.
Makes sense. Yep, all
question
right.
Question number two, who leads the NBA this season in technical fouls with 17? It's not DeMarcus Cousins.
Is it Kevin Durant?
It's Dwight Howard.
Okay.
I think.
How many? I know Kevin Durant was close to that lead earlier in the season. And remember, he apologized to the referees and said, I'm not going to get any more tees, and maybe he slowed down there.
If Boogie would have played all, you know, full season, he may have been up there.
He's up there every year. Yeah.
Question number three. Who leads the MLB in home runs last season?
Last season?
Who led the league in home runs last season?
Well, it was Giancarlo Stanton.
That's correct. I thought you would say Judge. But
no, it was Giancarlo who got booed out of Yankee Stadium last night. You see that?
0 for 5, yeah.
With 5 strikeouts.
I mean, he had a home run today, so it doesn't really matter. Question number four, the Masters is tomorrow. Who won last year's Green Jacket?
Sergio Garcia, who's going to be here for the Zurich Classic this year.
That's correct. Question number five, who has a four-day total course record at the Masters? A four-day total, Thursday through Sunday. Who has the record for best score?
This is going to be somebody off the wall, isn't it?
I'll give you a hint. It was in 1997.
97. That was a little bit. Is it Greg Norman?
That's close, but it's actually Tiger Woods.
Oh, it is Tiger? Oh, yeah. Come on. See, I thought that was too obvious. I would have said Tiger.
I thought it was obvious, too. But, yeah, question number six? Who has the most losses in WrestleMania history with 11? 11 losses in WrestleMania.
Ric Flair.
It's actually Triple H.
Oh, okay.
Triple H, I don't know. Apparently,
Ric Flair's got to be close, right? Like, he's never winning those
Macho Man Randy Savage, he's undefeated. Okay. He's, I think, 4-0. And final question, Bartolo Colon is 44 years old and pitching for the Mets this season. Which season is he in currently?
Like number of seasons in his career?
This is his so-and-so season. He's 44 years old.
24th season.
It's actually his 21st, and I think this will probably be his final season.
Well, we thought that like the last 4 years.
He has a great exercise regimen.
I mean, he's still a capable MLB pitcher. He's like Jamie Moyer. He just plays. He's going to play till he's 50.
Him and Adrian Beltre, I think, are the last of the 90s players that are still in the league.
Didn't Jamie Moyer try to make a comeback? Am I thinking that?
He was with the Phillies for a good while, but I think eventually he retired at the age, I want to say 43 or 44, 45.
I think it was like 45 or 46. Jamie Moyer should be in the Hall of Fame just for like longevity. That's my view on it. That was good stuff. A little warm-up maybe for next week when we bring Scott Alexander or somebody back. We'll take a quick break here. Coming back, we'll have our moment of zen, some highlights from the Pelicans game tonight, including the final call as the Pels get a 28-point win against the Grizzlies. I'm Seth Dunlap. Thanks for hanging out tonight. It's Double Coverage on WWL. Thanks to everybody who participated, including our guest Jordan Schultz of Yahoo Sports, Dan Feldman of ProBasketballTalk.com, and Andrew Doak at WWL TV. Andrew called back in and said he was sorry for his phone problems. We'll have him back on next week. If you missed any of our show tonight, remember, you can get it all every single day on the podcast version of our show at WWL.com, the WWL radio app that you can get in your smartphone's app store, and now at Radio1.com. Remember, if you have or don't have the Radio.com app yet, you can download it there. You can listen to WWL anytime, anywhere, stream all your favorite shows. Plus, you can connect with WWL on Facebook and Twitter. Some of the stuff on our website today, Steve Geller's videos from LSU Pro Day, all on there. We see Dante Jackson, his 40 time. He increased that. Now the fastest 40 time by a cornerback this year in the Combine or a Pro Day. You got to see it. Plus, we got interviews with Darius Geis, DJ Shark, Arden Key. Yeah, Arden Key talking to the media, and also Saints general manager Mickey Loomis. You can check it out now and download our radio.com app today. Programming note for tomorrow, no show because LSU baseball is here on WWL. In SEC play, the Tigers head to College Station to take on Texas A&M in game one of a three-game series. Pre-game is going to be at 6:30, first pitch at 7 o'clock. That's tomorrow. Game two on Friday, it's earlier because of TV, so 5:30 pregame, 6 o'clock first pitch. That means we're going to get on the air about 9:30, maybe 10 o'clock, depending somewhere in there. So we'll have about an hour, hour and a half of the show, recap that, and get you ready for the weekend here, including WrestleMania. And, yeah, WrestleMania on Sunday, WrestleMania 34, live from the Mercedes-Benz Superdome. I will be on the air with Mark Menard and the mother of dragons, Amber O'Leary, our assistant program director, from 10 a.m. to noon. It's a preview WrestleMania, and we'll also be at the Superdome. Hope to see you there. I want to thank Tim Zimmer and Master Control tonight. I want to thank Todd Meneses and Diane Newman, our program directors during the day. I want to thank you for listening. Let's keep the conversation going on Twitter. And as we do every single night, we'll leave you with our moment of Zen. Tonight, courtesy of the Pelicans Radio Network, here's a compilation of some highlights and the final call from the Pelicans' 123-95 victory over the Grizzlies. Good night.
42-34. Moore lobs to the rim. Alley-oop dunk for Davis, who came down awkwardly, but pops up and he seems okay.
Anthony Davis offering you a little new flavor in your ear.
Moore sends it up to Holiday. Hands it to Miritich. Right side for three. Bang, got it. Nikola Miritich, welcome back, my friend. 12 points in the start.
But the two threes he has made have been clean looks.
Indeed.
Wide open.
So Davis catches now the other end and dishes immediately to Rondo. Turns around the Davis screen. Snap pass wing right. Moore shot fake from three steps left off the bounce. Fires and scores. What a game for Etuan Moore. 7 of 10 from three-point range. He's got 30.
And the way he's shooting it, he could have stepped in and taken a two. But the way he's shooting it, why not?
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.